Can banks really start writing emergency loans to small businesses as directed today? Good morning, I'm David Brancaccio. Banks are bracing themselves for a wave of applications for the Crisis Small Business Loan Program set up in the $2 trillion federal stimulus. It's supposed to start today, but some big banks say they're not ready. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, first of all, hi, but what's the problem?
Hey, David. Small businesses will be applying for these government loans through banks, and the banks have been waiting for final guidelines from the federal government. The guidelines went out just last night. It looks like there'll be delays at even some of the biggest banks, as you mentioned. A message on the JP Morgan Chase website says it's not accepting applications at this time. Bank of America's website still says its small business clients can apply for the loans, quote, once final guidelines are released. And Wells Fargo isn't accepting applications yet either.
What took them so long on the guidelines?
This is a really complicated program, and it's going to be administered by banks. They had complaints. Small banks said the interest rate was too low, so the Treasury Department raised it. Other banks are worried about liability if a business lies on the loan application. The banks are supposed to verify that these businesses have been up and running for the last few months and paying their employees.
How big is this thing?
It's about $350 billion. There's some concern that more established businesses will snap that up quickly, squeezing out the smallest ones. But Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says he will ask Congress for more money if the $350 billion runs out.
Nancy, thank you. What is normally a crucial report on hiring and unemployment is due in about an hour and a half, but the speed at which the COVID-19 emergency has swept the country could make today's data seem out of date, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Just before the COVID-19 pandemic broke out in the U.S., the job market was cooking. Unemployment was at 3.5%, a 50-year low, and employers were adding nearly 250,000 jobs a month. That has now completely reversed, but the mass unemployment caused by the pandemic won't show up in today's numbers, says Nick Bunker at Indeed.com.
The report we'll get is going to miss the vast majority of the economic damage that we've seen in March. A lot of the deterioration in the labor market happened in the second half of the month,
after the Labor Department's job market surveys were done. So we'll have to wait for the April report in more than a month to see the full impact. But economists are already making dire predictions. With an unprecedented 10 million unemployment claims filed nationwide over the past 2 weeks, the unemployment rate could already be above 10%, the highest it got during the Great Recession. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now, Walmart is trying to hire 150,000 people through May. Amazon is now saying it has hired 80,000 people and is looking for more. All are seriously hiring, including grocery chains, pharmacy chains, dollar-type stores. 7-Eleven wants to hire 20,000 full-time positions. Crude oil has held on to that wild jump in prices yesterday. It's at $26.40 a barrel this morning, up 25% since late Wednesday. Maybe Saudi Arabia and Russia, maybe, might now agree to cut production with demand for oil down dramatically with so many sheltering in place. There's now a meeting of the oil producers' cartel, OPEC, set for Monday. Stock market is down, with the Dow future off 242 points. That is 1.2%. New York City has now joined Los Angeles County in urging all residents to wear face coverings if they go out. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says he doesn't mean the official masks, which are needed by the medical folks, but do-it-yourself masks for things like grocery shopping. And shortages have forced some hospitals to accept made-at-home versions. Blake Farmer of WPLN in Nashville has more in a piece that I want to stress is about the use of these specifically in the medical setting.
College campuses are closed, but in Tennessee, their 3D printers are still humming. These printers are molding parts for clear face shields after one school developed a prototype. Oluwatosin Fabui is an engineering graduate student at Tennessee State University.
We have health workers out there risking their lives, saving people. So this is what we can do to help them. It'll be fun to do it, so
area hospitals are certainly in need. One near TSU's campus has told doctors they need to wash and reuse face shields until further notice. But these 3D printed versions aren't going straight to the front lines. The first delivery of 1,500 went to a government stockpile. As 3D printers hum, online tutorials have instructed volunteers around the world how to sew cloth masks. And large hospital systems have started accepting them. Vanderbilt University Medical Center even published a preferred pattern. Angela Purinton manages the hospital's volunteers and says right now, people have time to spare.
While they're home, they want to still contribute.
The hospital has heard some pushback, even from its own physicians. They point to a study showing cloth versions aren't very good for infection control. Purinton says the homemade masks will primarily be offered to patients who feel more comfortable wearing one. But Dr. Sunal Gupta is an internist whose husband is an anesthesiologist at the hospital.
It's ridiculous that people are resorting to trusting Joann fabrics to have the right number of microns thick fabric here to protect us.
Gupta argues the federal government should be doing more to manufacture medical-grade gear. But Dr. Jennifer Avegno, who leads the health department in New Orleans, said in a recent press conference her own mother is among the volunteer sewers.
Are these surgical masks going to be hospital-grade? Probably not. Might they, in some capacity, be useful? Absolutely.
Especially if the homemade masks help preserve the surgical masks for those who really need them. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers, the digital producer Alex Schroeder, engineers Brian Allison and Jay Siebold. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.